The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. While we in the non-monogamous community often talk about playing with others, we don't talk much about something we all still do, which is play with ourselves. And tonight, that is our topic, masturbation, non-monogamy, and how we love ourselves as much as possible. As Woody Allen once said, don't knock masturbation, it's sex with someone you love. I'm Cooper Beckett. With me tonight, we have...
Hey, everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, it's Dylan.
And it's Shira B-Cat.
And so, yes, tonight we are talking masturbation. But before we get started with our first two shows, first three shows of the season being interview shows, we haven't had a lot of time for business. So we're going to catch up a little bit tonight. And I know for a fact that Miss Shira B-Cat has some business.
I do have some business, and I'm not sure how much I should get into now, but I have a little bit of business. I've decided to end my polycelibacy, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it yet, but I'm gearing up.
The sex world missed you.
Yeah, I've missed it a bit, and you know, in true poly fashion, I have started gearing up by flirting around a little bit with completely inappropriate targets, and it's great. I now have two very great inappropriate targets, one I'm calling the Virgin, and one I'm calling Trouble, and it's been a great bit of fun so far.
So can you remind me why you went on a break from on a hiatus from sex for a while?
I had that stupid breakup in October that just kind of really messed with my head because I felt you know, and poly relationships are kind of tough, you know, in general. They're intrinsically complicated. And when you find someone that you're like, "Oh my gosh, this might actually really work." It's when it doesn't, it's like, oh my God, this will probably never work. And so I was just kind of taking a break, and I had that neat little NSA experience and decided to kind of cool my heels for a little while and get myself back together. And now I'm feeling a little bit frisky again. So, yeah.
Well, good.
Decided to get back out there.
I'm glad you got what you needed.
I did. And just in time, I'm kind of gearing up for spring here, so it'll be nice.
Well, spring is the season of sex.
I thought every season was.
Every season is the season for sex, yeah.
If anything, it's winter because you can't go out and do stuff, so you might as well stay in. Cooper, you suck.
And you keep warm. That's a good way to keep warm.
Yes, that's very true.
Much. So there you go.
Well, I had something... I had kind of an issue crop up that I thought it might be interesting for you guys to hear about. Or maybe if it isn't, you know, maybe one out of 1,000 might.
1,000 listeners?
Maybe. The 1,000 listeners we probably don't have, but...
we have 1,000.
Just to say it anyway. Oh, okay. Well,
why would you say that?
Feel so bad.
We have more than 1,000 listeners.
Because I like to be self-deprecating because it makes me feel better. It's really stupid, but it is what it is, you know. So, okay. I felt bad about something. Okay. The other night, Tony and I were in bed. And we had a complete breakdown of our sexual chemistry. We were just on completely different pages. Yeah, it was a really big oh no moment, you know.
We were on different pages, man.
And see, I know that, but it felt really awful, right? And so we talked about it in the middle, almost yelled about it for a little bit because I was mad because you know what? I like foreplay a lot. And part of foreplay for me is actually playing around with the person that I'm with a lot. You know, that does a lot to me, or a lot for me. And for her, she isn't so much into foreplay. She's pretty much ready to go. And it's not like she wants wham bam and then it's done. It's just she doesn't need that buildup. Or at least, yeah, right now she doesn't need that buildup. And it's almost, if I'm, even though for me foreplay is also playing with her, it's almost boring to her because it's like, well, if it's not doing much for her, you know, and you know, I also went through and on and said, wait, maybe I'm not doing it right. It's like, you know, no, I've been with her a long time. There have been many times when there's been plenty of foreplay. But right now, at this point in our relationship, she's just not interested in that much foreplay. Whether it's from me or whether it's from everybody in general, I don't know yet. But I felt really bad after that because I felt like I wanted to have, you know, a couple hours of alone time with her. And she only wanted, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. And I didn't feel very good about that. So we ended up not having sex. And I kind of stewed about it for a couple days, right? And yeah, it felt bad. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
How old are your kids right now?
My son just turned 6.
That's tough. I was going to say maybe it was a child-related thing, because sometimes that can be... It's hard to commit to a lot of foreplay when you have kids in the house.
That factored into it. You know, if we're busy doing stuff during the day, and then we have to put him to bed, and then, you know, we have dinner, and then we, you know, chill out and watch some television, and then by the time we're all done with that, it could already be 11 o'clock, and I want to work sex in earlier, and she doesn't necessarily always want to do that. So that was part of it. So good call on your part. I didn't even think about it till now.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, when your kids are young, you start training yourself to go faster, like, because mm-hmm. you don't know how long you have, and you kind of get into a routine of making a quick go of it. So that was just my thought, but...
And, you know, that's a good point. You know, maybe because we, you know, started being non-monogamous, that we've been able to build up to... Well, maybe I've been able to build up to where I'm back to where I always wanted to be, and she hasn't. Or maybe she's just found what she wanted. I'm not entirely sure yet.
Well, you know what, Dylan? I think another... Sorry to interrupt that thought pattern, but I'm just, like, I'm in stream of consciousness now, thinking of, like, putting myself in Tanya's shoes and... thinking about, you know, just, I don't know, I'm reflecting on my own experience too. I just have so many thoughts. One of them that I like to lean on is the idea of the, I call it the sexual chameleon, that you can do whatever suits you at that moment and not judge it as too short, too long, too practical, too, you know, too indulgent, whatever. Obviously, you had mentioned that you and Tonya were on kind of separate pages. So that's hard, you know, you wanting to take some longer time, be more indulgent, start earlier, all of that good stuff, and her wanting to just, you know, be more practical, get some release, and then, you know, maybe get to bed or whatever. But I think it's important to not judge any of it, like to not think that longer and more indulgent is better, that sometimes a hot quickie in the shower is hotter than a long 3-hour session. Like, of course, we all assume like a long 3-hour session is just that much better, but sometimes it's just not, I guess. I mean, if your head's not there, but I hear what you're saying. Fundamentally, you just weren't on the same page. So that's kind of more of the issue there. So,
Ginger, maybe you have a bigger shower, but I've never found that a hot quickie in the shower is better than anything, really.
Really?
I enjoy shower time. Never. So to agree with Ginger on that one.
I found the shower handle an excellent way to carry a pane of glass.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of the quickie in the shower. I mean, if it, you know, usually it's the prelude to what's going to happen later in the night, so it's certainly not a replacement for a long indulgent session, but you know, I'll take it for what it is when I can get it. And you know, it may just be how delicious Prof looks getting in and out of the shower that I can barely contain myself.
Well, so, I'll tell you, I agree with your sentiment now, but in the heat of the moment, what set it off was, she pulled me on top of her, and at the time, it felt like, well, she's rushing me. She just wants me to do her and get it over with. And I totally didn't want to do that. And that was the basis of the sexual desync there. And so after that, and after, you know, kind of pouting about it for a couple of days and not being very close with her, I started thinking, you know, one of the things that we said...
A couple of days.
Yeah, I was hurt because I felt what was going through my head was, wow, this person that I want to spend the rest of my life with, I might not be sexually compatible with her anymore. What's going on with this? I don't know.
You went to a dark place.
I went to a very dark place. Okay, and it's totally not justified compared with what actually happened. I'm just saying what happened in my mind. So that's where I went with that, and I came back and I thought back to one of our first shows, and I don't remember who said it, but one of us said, you don't have to be everything to your partner. You don't have to be everything to everyone or everything to one person. One of the nice things about being non-monogamous is that you can find other people, whether it's in that moment or in that week or just, you know, in general, that will do different things for you. And it can be good, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's any worse or any less with, you know, your primary partner or, you know, with your wife or whoever it is. And so once I took that to heart for a couple minutes and said, well, okay, so Tonya and I haven't been at this part before. She used to like foreplay a lot. She doesn't right now for whatever reason. And I do. But you know what? I have... We have all these other couples that we can and do play with, and they all enjoy foreplay or other things more or less than we do at certain points. And so I can explore with them. And you know what? I'm lucky enough to have, you know, the single lady that I've been talking about, you know, I can explore it with her. And there's been another single lady that's been hanging around that I can explore with her. And it's like, you know, I'm not lacking for outlets to express my sexuality the way I want to. So why should I focus on Tonya not necessarily wanting that with me right now as being a negative or as a deal breaker? Because like I said, I was thinking about this as, wow, for the rest of my life, we're not going to be compatible. And I talked myself down and said, okay, this is okay, because this is why we're non-monogamous.
See, Dylan, I had actually a similar issue recently. I kind of confronted my primary partner about not being quite so giving in the foreplay area. We generally skip right to the sex, and I got all pouty one night, and I said, why won't you touch me? And and you know, it was I think I found that like immediate confrontation probably helped a little bit, so I wasn't feeling bad for a while. You gotta talk to her quicker, sweetie.
Yeah. don't pout.
Well, you know, at the time when we were talking, it was very heated. It was very heated, and it wasn't a healthy conversation. So,
well, and also, too, I mean, I hear what you guys are saying. I think earlier than a couple of days, probably best. But also, if you had handled it right then, Dylan, you would have been talking about an issue of being sexually compatible the rest of your relationship. You know, that would have been the presenting issue right there. When, in fact, given some perspective, you realize that's not the issue. So, I mean, sometimes immediate confrontation can be, you know, it's important to work things out, but it's also important to be working out the actual issue as opposed to what it just presents like. Like you said, you kind of went to the abyss, you went to the really dark place, and, you know, that's not going to be productive, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah. So I'm.
But that's how you feel. So yes, you have to go with that too. So.
So yeah, that was me, and things are better now because, well, I stepped down from the abyss and said, well, this was just overdramatic, and I just needed to pull back and say, well, things are okay. And you know, we have talked, and we're okay with each other, and we had some really, really great sex that, you know, lasted 20, 30 minutes, but was, oh, so nice, because it was half makeup sex and just half, you know, God, I was so mad at you, I just want to take it out of you. Fuck you so hard. And she was the same way because she was so frustrated with me, and oh, it was nice.
Yay. Yeah,
we had to change the covers.
Well, excellent. That's the way to do it then.
Okay.
I have a little bit of business that I'm not going to do too much with because I don't like jinxing these things. Marilyn and I met a unicorn. a poly unicorn.
Cooper, I'm totally going to call you out.
That
you're fresh from a booty call.
I am fresh from a booty call.
Cooper's fresh from a booty call.
with our poly unicorn who says she thinks she wants to be our girlfriend. So this is very new and interesting for us, and it's something we're just exploring.
This is kind of new and interesting for me, Cooper. This is awesome. you might be coming to the dark side.
So first, no, Cooper evolves.
I don't have to not be a swinger in order
I'm
to
not
do this.
Saying that.
Well, remember, Cooper started out as straight, and then he slowly evolved into bi, and now, you know, if the trend continues, he might end up being bi and poly.
Well, I could go with if the trend continues, I might end up being gay, because that's what the gay community is always saying.
Oh, God. Oh,
all right, circle back around. Circle back around the booty call. I want,
wait, you
want to hear
details?
More. No. I'm sorry. Just the poly unicorn, girlfriend unicorn, poly swing amorphous.
She was not having a lot of luck on OkCupid meeting people. One of her boyfriends was on Lifestyle Lounge with an ex, so she was on Lifestyle Lounge. And that's where we encountered her, and she's kind of geeky, and she's kind of interesting, and she plays board games. And we asked her to be the third in our Catan game. It was very romantic, I thought. And it's an interesting situation, and I'm kind of a little giddy in the very unique new throes of something. Because, you know, in swinging, you kind of have your, I almost said strategery. See, I hear that,
oh, you
that quote way too much, but you almost have your strategy down. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. So it doesn't often surprise you at.
Sorry.
Did you sing that, Shira?
No, that was Dylan.
No, it was Dylan.
Hilarious.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why you were apologizing for him?
Apologizing, well, you said it like three times. And
such
it's like
a silly joke.
See, this is what happens when we don't do business for a while. We all get giddy and silly when we actually wind up doing business.
I'm totally giddy and silly.
That is true.
Right now.
So this, like I said, I don't want to say a whole lot about it because, you know, I don't want to have this show come on and we've had a huge fight and it's all, you know, done already and I'm all upset. I don't want to have that happen. So we're just going to move on. But I wanted to bring that up, that we are sliding ever so slightly towards poly. And I actually was thinking about this in an article I'm writing for the site, how it seems to me that if you look at the extreme side, you know, swinging and poly are sort of like magnets, and it depends on which way you're charged, and you're sliding in one direction or the other. And you don't have to be moving a lot, but you're sliding either closer to the divide or further away from the divide. So that's my thought. So, yeah, cool stuff. Came from a booty call. It was awesome.
I'm glad that worked out.
Me
you
too.
Were sending me some nervous text messages.
I was. I have a hard time when somebody seems really good for us. It's just like, okay, well, where's the catch here? Is she a psychopath? Is she just coming over to murder us? Maybe she's coming to murder us. Why would she have her picture on the website if she was just coming over to murder us?
Did you feel that way about us?
I totally felt that way about you. Meeting
really?
You.
Wait, did you guys?
No,
meet
I met
online?
You at a party. Before swinging, why would I have felt that you were coming over to murder us?
I don't know. It was,
Ginger, on the other hand, I thought she was a black widow. You know, she was just going to come and kill me for my money.
Ginger, should you ever decide to dress and act as the black widow, you can come and it's cool.
And murder Dylan.
I think this calls for a quick origin story of Cooper and Dylan, because I have no idea.
Oh.
We met at a friend's Christmas party. It was before we were...
Vanilla party?
Yes.
We made out in the closet.
Okay. Under the mistletoe.
We did not make out in the closet or anything. But no, it was a friend's Christmas party.
Marilyn and
I just met as people.
We're still vanilla, and I was very grumpy because I was on... antibiotics, so I couldn't drink. So it was not a good Christmas party, but it was a Christmas party.
Well, you know what you could have done about that?
What?
You could have masturbated.
At the Christmas party?
No, I'm trying to segue, dude. Trying to segue.
Nice try.
You could have masturbated at the Christmas party.
I'll sum up the origin story and just say that, you know, Cooper and Marilyn were our first couple. So they introduced us to all this.
That's their origin story. That's your origin story.
Yes.
You're the head vampire.
I am, totally, sire. I sired them.
I'm the spike to your angel, apparently. Except I don't look a lot like Billy Idol.
Which and Spike is so much cooler than Angel. I don't know why you would do that to me. That's just so mean. So I want to talk about.
I didn't mean it like that.
I want to talk about Christine O'Donnell.
She is actually a witch, by the way.
Should we burn her? Or does does she weigh more than a church?
This is totally a not healthy line of questioning right here.
I'm not sure about weighing more than a church. Someone's going to have to clue me in there.
Some churches float, according to Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
When you've said like 7 geeky things in a row, Cooper.
Totally. I'm totally a geek. But I want to talk about her being crazy. Let's just go ahead and say she's crazy. And I bet she gets freaky when she masturbates. I bet she sobs the entire time. Herself and she cries.
Let us introduce our listeners to this Christine O'Donnell character.
Christine O'Donnell was the Republican nomination for senator in Delaware. And she had a video in the 80s where she was talking about how the Bible says that lust is in your heart, that lust in your heart is committing adultery, and you can't masturbate without lust. So masturbation is adultery. So therefore, it's bad. And this was huge, and Dan Savage jumped all over this, even announcing National Masturbate to Christine O'Donnell Month.
And just to add a little bit of the little bit of lore to this, back in. She was on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. Way back when, yeah, back in 99. And she was interviewed as saying, you know, I dabbled into witchcraft. I never joined a coven, but I hung around people who were doing these things. We went to a movie and had a little, like, picnic on the satanic altar and blah, blah, blah. You know, normally it would have been just okay. But coming from the MTV girl, you know, it was a little bit weird. And then, of course, it came out during her election campaign. And so she made... I cannot believe she addressed this. Like, when I saw this video, I just dropped my jaw and said, wow. But she made a video that started out by saying, I'm not a witch, and then went on to the whole thing. So it was pretty fantastic.
So this is where we're at in part of the society. I mean, she is not... the entire country didn't get up in arms when this psychopath decided that masturbation should be eliminated and was running for office. Only the liberals did, which means the Republicans are okay with not touching yourself.
Yeah, I heard, I can't recall the comedian who did the bit, but it was basically a bit about her alienating voters, you know, the ones who actually have hands. And it just got this, like, incredible laugh. And it's really... I can get really political and intellectual about how do you, at this time, in this day and age, and the whole thing, but I still come back to the, really? Like, you really, this, of all the things that we can talk about, of all of the issues that we can, you know, discuss, cover, address on a policy basis, and we're talking about a war on masturbation? Really? It's 2011, people. Like, I have a, you can't see my picketing sign, but I have my picketing sign
that
here.
Says I mean, touch myself?
Yeah, of course.
Excellent. Yeah. But, you know, this is from the same party who wants to teach abstinence-only education. They're asking the kids not to have sex and not to touch themselves. And you know who can help them do that? Jesus. Or the priest will do it for them. So, you know, that's good.
So let me ask a question. Did O'Donnell make it into the office she was running for?
No, she didn't.
Oh, absolutely not.
It looks like there was some sense in Delaware, and they collectively said, we want to fuck ourselves. Thank you very much.
Well, she made it an easy race. She knocked her relatively, and again, I say relative, relatively moderate opponent on the Republican side out and became the cause celeb for the entire Tea Party movement. And then she got creamed by the Democratic opponent. So, you know, good job.
Well, it sounds like there's some hope out there. I don't hear a lot of anti-masturbation rhetoric, but I know that there was that recent flare-up.
Well, no, it's more that, you know, you hear a lot of things, a lot of wild things from fringe candidates who amount to anything. You know, and she didn't amount to anything because she didn't win, but she did win the Republican nomination.
That's really concerning.
Yeah. That's really what concerns me, is that the Republican Party said, this is our girl, when they knew about this bizarre stance. And, you know, you'd think they'd have a problem with the witchcraft, but...
You know, not to get political, but you know what makes me angrier?
Tell me.
When they call Bristol Palin a teen activist.
When they call Bristol Palin, abstinent?
An activist for abstinence, yeah.
Yeah, because, she fucked, period.
That's the end.
There's really no way around that. You can't be a crusader for abstinence if you fuck.
Well, but, you know, she put out an ad. She was in Dancing with the Stars, I think, and Situation was there, too. And so she did a little, 90-second ditty in the middle of one of those Dancing with the Stars episodes where she and the Situation talked about not having premarital sex. It was unbelievably uncomfortable and stupid, and who the hell would watch that and say, you know what, I shouldn't have premarital sex because the Situation and Bristol Palin tell me not to.
It really sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch. If you think about it, it sounds like just a parody.
It was that uncomfortable. Like, you know, the really crappy ones where you're just like, how did this get there? It was one of those.
Yeah, why isn't this buried in the last half hour that I usually fall asleep before?
Swing Set's got to take a break, so please stay with us.
Hello, listeners. You know, a lot of sex toys come across our desks here at Life on the Swing Set. Some of them are good, but many are forgettable. Then there are the products from close to you. These toys are musically named because music is the language of passion. They rise to the top, superior instruments of pleasure that you can't wait to play with again and again. Close to You's entire line of toys are the cream of the crop. Their vibrators and anal beads are elegant, soft, and most wonderfully waterproof. Pick up Close to You's Harmonia G-Spot Vibe today at EdenFantasies.com.
So we're going to move on from the political stuff, but
back to masturbation.
Anti-masturbation makes me angry because I think everybody should be touching themselves as much as humanly possible.
Oh.
Not in front of kids, obviously.
There would be much less road rage. There's no doubt about that. I mean, not that I advocate masturbating in your car, but
I was just going to ask, is that what we're advocating, masturbating in the car?
You know, I've heard a lot of those stories.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know. There comes a time when you just need a little, you know, release. But I'll say, you know, stop the car if you need to masturbate on the road. But I'm just saying, less road rage, more orgasms, less road rage.
I think less rage in general. If more people just took the time to love themselves.
Well, we had a little discussion about that many, many moons ago with Kylie because she actually was interested in trying one of the toys while she was in the car. And I'm like, no, you don't want to do that. That's
well, we're just not going to advocate it. If she wants to do it, that's fine. We're not going to say, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you from I don't know about anybody else's orgasms, but I am completely incapable of anything other than orgasming when I'm orgasming.
Mm. What? Yes, anything other than orgasming.
So you mean
you
can't drive while orgasming?
Well, I'm not going to say I've never done. I've done that, but I don't advocate it because it's
so good.
Not...
The Swing Set comes down staunchly on the pull over before you make a cell phone call. and there pull over before you masturbate.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can't even keep my eyes open when I'm having an orgasm, so driving would probably be a bad idea.
Don't come and drive.
I need that bumper sticker.
Can I contact the Mothers Against Drunk Driving and propose a new...
Mothers Against Masturbation in the car?
How about this? Let's just masturbate right to the brink, and that's all you're allowed to do. Oh. And then you gotta hold out.
Oh, no.
It's a great tip for those truckers who have to stay up all day.
That would be the worst the Kegel ever.
The Kegel exercises, you can do those and work with that.
You can do... My wife has a little post-it on her vent that says, "Remember Kegels." To remind every time she stops at a stoplight to do some Kegels.
That's not a bad idea. No, just like just hearing the word makes me start up. Like now.
There you go. Yeah.
Like right now.
So yeah. You are currently doing Kegels, both girls?
I'm Kegeling right now.
Okay. So am I.
Have to be careful, though. It makes me come.
Does it really shiver?
Yeah.
Oh,
you're talking to the girl.
So let me ask you something. Why would we masturbate?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah. Why would
we? That's the question we hear. Is you probably don't masturbate anymore. It's like, of course I masturbate. I still masturbate about the same amount that I did before we were swinging. I masturbate about the same amount I did before I was married. There's really been no change in my masturbation routine. I've gathered some new accessories since I became more open. And I don't hide it anymore because I don't need to. Not that I ever did. But I would say that knowing everybody on this call fairly intimately, we all still enjoy the hell out of our private masturbation time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So,
Cooper, how often then?
How often I'm going to go around the room for how often? I probably will. I'll go ahead and say 6 out of the 7 days of a week. There's usually a day that I don't.
Not too shabby. I'm at 5 out of 7.
Well done. Occasionally, I do have my. We're just going to do it again today. Just because we're just going to do it again.
I definitely have.
Usually 3 to 4 times, for no reason. I'm not even interested, but it seems like something to do.
I can't believe this. I'm going to have to agree with you across the board. I probably do it about 7 times a week, but sometimes it's like 3 or 4 times a day, and then it's like, don't need to do it for a while.
Wow.
How about you?
Electing
to go last.
Note to you, Ginger, if we ever spend a day together.
What's that?
What? If we ever spend a day together, yeah.
Like, are you printing out your recycle time? Is that what we're doing, Dylan?
Absolutely not. I would never do such a thing.
Never just stoop to there.
Every day. Yeah.
Now, why do we do it every day when we do have the ability to have sex with our spouse or sex with many other people?
They aren't mutually exclusive.
I have to clarify, though. I mean, is that to orgasm or is that just, a diddle?
Oh no! If I'm masturbating, it's I'm going to get there. That's the way it is. But and if my time crunch happens, I can do it real fast. I can get there right away. Otherwise, I can do that leisurely. I've been working on the death grip.
Good for you.
I'm working on that.
Rehabilitation
program. I'm trying to alternate strokes. I'm using other things.
Do you put on one of those tapes with the rowing stuff where they yell stroke and stroke?
I put on one of those subliminal tapes. You are a strong, confident masturbator.
Wow,
so, that's creepy.
I'm gonna make that,
that
tape.
That
and
would
I'm gonna
not
send
get,
it to you.
That would not get me off no, at all. Think? No.
Oh, okay.
It wouldn't.
How about talking about how sexy you are, Ginger?
You sound so awful like that. I just got to say that. You don't have the right deep
it
bass
sounds
voice
like there. The voice in my head. I'm like, yeah, wow. Yeah. Can everybody hear that?
Now, I don't have the voice either. So, I'm not saying I'm any better. Just
So this is a legitimate question, though. If you have the access to
sex. You know, a lot of people have this assumption that men masturbate because their wives don't want to have sex. That seems to be the prevailing assumption in mainstream society, according to all the television I've watched.
Well, there's a kernel of truth to that.
15 decades, 150 years old. I am Angel.
I have like two major reasons why I still masturbate. The first one being that it's just so much easier and faster than sex, and I know that's so horrible to say.
No, that's exactly I'm on that same page.
But sometimes I can just like sneak away for 10 minutes and it doesn't have to get complicated. It's just between me and me. It's great. And then the other thing is, another reason why I masturbate pretty often is because it's so much easier for me to get off when I have sex if I have masturbated or already had an orgasm that day.
Oh, see, yeah, you work your way into it, don't you? See, with,
Yes,
it's not quite the same for a lot of men. I'm going to say it's not quite the same for me.
It's pretty much the opposite for guys, I think.
Pretty much masturbating right before sex is akin to, I don't know, emptying the chambers completely before you go to the gun range. You know, you're just not going to have as much fun.
But if I go anywhere, like, you know, between 8 and less hours beforehand, it really improves things, like, tremendously.
Oh, definitely for women, that orgasm's begetting orgasm.
Because you're priming the pump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think there are so many women out there, though, that still think, like, you're going to use them up. Like, no. No. You're not. You're going to have more. So, I mean, just believe that you can. And I think that's how a lot of women discover being multi-orgasmic, is they don't have pressure. They don't create any pressure, but it just kind of sneaks up on them when they're masturbating because, of course, they're, you know, they know how to do it and do it well and get themselves to a really hot place. And then all of a sudden they're coming again. They're like, what the heck is that?
Do single orgasmic women still exist? I haven't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Okay. And pre-orgasmic women who've never experienced orgasm. Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, not as much in the lifestyle, but yes, they do.
Hmm. Okay. I got to look harder.
Well,
they need to masturbate more.
There's a, you know, I know I mentioned last week that I'd been exploring more with anal play, and it's so clunky and clumsy to me right now that.
Anal play by yourself is clunky and clumsy. There are very few good ways and easy ways to do it.
No, but it is with my wife too, because she doesn't necessarily know what she's doing either, and so I want to figure out what I like and what does it for me, so that I can, you know, convey that to her.
You need trainer.
I so desperately need a trainer. If there was somebody
so
that
that's
would...
why you're going to San Francisco, dude.
I wouldn't mind, you know, I could coach. I'm a great coach.
I would be I need that coach because I need to find different things.
That just creates such an interesting visual.
By the way, Ginger, I have you to thank. You said something a few weeks ago where you said, if you're having a problem putting something in your butt, you bear down on it and it's easier to get in. You said
that was Sheer. That was Sheer.
Oh, Sheer, that was you. Oh, Sheer, thank you then.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it was TBK. And I agreed with TBK heartily, but yes. Oh, yeah, that was it.
Well,
that
helped.
Kendra,
that was the breakthrough.
That was the breakthrough.
Before then, I could not get it in, and it was just not doing anything because, well, I couldn't get it in past like halfway, and that did it. So that was the key, and so now I can explore more and do more things. And so,
Dylan,
what
were you getting in?
one of the Nexus, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the smaller black one. I'm trying to remember what the model name was, but it was the smallest prostate stimulator that they had.
Like one of those Aneros type things?
It's very similar to the Aneros.
Okay.
Nexus sent us, this was way at the beginning of the show. Nexus sent, actually the first toys to arrive were butt toys. They sent their complete line of prostate stimulators. And I opened this box and it's just like, wow, okay, I love butt play, but that's a lot of butt play. So
I was like, okay, I need to pass some of these off. And I asked a few people, and they're like, absolutely not. Okay. And I asked Dylan, and he's like, okay, I'll take it.
So to give you an idea of how long of a journey it's been for me to get to be in this, it's been almost a year that it's taken me to actually get this thing all the way in. So, yeah, it's even after all the advice that
constant.
I've gotten from people on the site.
Never stop trying. Constant.
Well, you have to take a break from work.
Under his pants, just trying to get it in.
Well, you know, I'm so excited that it's you.
I never stop posting and I never stop trying. So, yeah.
Dylan, I'm so excited that it's you talking about anal masturbation. I wouldn't have thought it would be you bringing it up. But
really?
Kudos, man. You're broadening your horizons.
I'm trying. I really am. I feel like I'm on the cusp of it being pleasurable for me now. I just need to try, a larger toy in a couple different ways, and I think I'm getting there.
Well, that's what that brings up something that I think is very important to consider in masturbation. Why we still do it is not only because it's fun, awesome, quick. You know, it's without pressure, without concern. It's all those things, but it's also an excellent staging area to explore what you want to do, you know. And that's people have been saying that about, girls masturbating for a long time. You know, if you can't have an orgasm, well, play with yourself until you can have an orgasm. Just keep working it until you get there. And, you know, for me, the anal stuff was me first, and then I could bring it to my relationship. And so you can start something on your own and see how you feel about it, so you're not just immediately jumping in with someone else with that pressure to say, okay, I want to try this. I don't know if I'll like it. I don't know if I like you after we do it, but let's try it.
That's an excellent point, Cooper.
So I have a question for Shira.
Yes?
So I'm thinking about masturbation. I'm thinking about kind of, you know, I hear Dylan and Coop talking about, you know, well, and I think we've all kind of alluded to the quick and easy, faster, looking for release. And I've always had this in my mind, where it came from, I'm not quite sure. And that's why I'm asking you. But this model of, you know, women's masturbation, if they do it, being this long, luxurious process that includes a bubble bath and, you know, all
candles.
This time to yourself. What, candles? Oh, of course, candles, soft music, almost like a seduction scene. And then, you know, the men are the, you know, quick in the stall at work sort of release. And I'm like, you know, I like it all, but that's kind of more my speed. Like, I'm not a big seduction masturbator. I'm more like, you know what? I'm feeling really edgy. And I know if I have an orgasm, this whatever I'm working on will go much smoother. So I'm gonna score myself an orgasm, and then I'm going to move on from here. So I'm just curious if any of that rings true for you, or what you identify with.
You know, not at all. I'm more on your speed. Half of the time, I don't even really take off my pants. I know that's really funny, but I have the Hitachi magic wand. It kind of goes
sure.
Right there. I don't need to even undress to masturbate. It's pretty freaking fabulous. To me, when I'm romancing myself is when I actually take the time to, like, go and pull up some porn or something. And to me, that's my big treat is when I find some visual stimulation. But yeah, maybe I should try it. Maybe I should do music and candles and bubble bath, but I'd probably fall asleep or something.
I know. Well, that's what makes me giggle is because I do kind of do it all, but it is the special occasion session of self-pleasure where I, you know, lay out all these toys and, you know, cue up some porn and that kind of thing. But the typical is very, it's a lot more practical and to the point than what I think a typical female master, you know, if you conjure in your mind this female masturbation session, mine wouldn't be typical, but I'm curious to know if then it even is typical.
I think maybe because we masturbate more than your typical woman, might have a less momentous type of emotion attached to it.
Yeah, if you're going to only masturbate once a year, you may want to make it a little bit more special.
Oh my God, that would be the most special day of the year.
Well, I mean, you do have to think of it like this. You know, it's been commonplace. Guys jack off for a long time. That's all. You know, everybody knows it. Everybody, it's the old joke. You know, 98% of guys masturbate. The other 2% lie. You know, but it's never been that with women, even though I think it's probably the same. The entire societal idea of masturbation is guys jacking off. It has nothing to do with women. And so whenever it's trying to portray women doing this, it can't just be a fun little fucking thing. Like, you know, seeing Naomi Watts masturbate in Mulholland Drive was almost shocking because you never see that in a mainstream movie, even though it was creepy and David Lynchian. But still, you don't see female masturbation. It never happens. And men masturbating is a source of jokes. So, of course, you have to do the, oh, well, when women do it, it's this beautiful thing because they wouldn't be doing any of that dirty, filthy stuff that the men do that Christina O'Donnell hates.
As a quick aside, hot movie masturbation that's out right now, everyone go see Black Swan.
Oh, yes. Although, again, just like Mulholland Drive, creepy.
Oh, yeah. At the end. But pretty hot while I was going.
Absolutely.
I guess I should see that then. And Avatar, because apparently they have two clits or so, I'm told.
Well, hey, and this is totally off topic, but I've never mentioned this on the show, and I just rewatched Avatar, and there are swinging Na'vi in Avatar. There's the scene where they're all curling up in their own little bed pods, and in the background there is a pile of Na'vi, men and women in a gigantic bed pod. Those are the fucking swingers.
Well, we just got the Blu-ray through Netflix, so we will
look carefully for the swingers.
All right,
I'm going to have to Google this.
So, you know, it's still not clear how they have sex. I think they do that hair thing, but they're clearly in a pile. Maybe it's a cuddle party.
Oh. Cuddle parties just seem so frustrating.
Look at how I just derailed the conversation.
Now you're doing it.
I started it. I'm sorry.
Switch roles again.
No, but you're right about female masturbation isn't really as broadly accepted as a thing that happens on a really regular basis for most women. It's so much to the fact that it's almost hard for girls, I think, to figure out, the girls who are interested in doing it. I think that starting out, it's hard to figure it out how to do it. Like, I personally had one hell of a time trying to figure out how to masturbate. I was 13, almost 14. I was living in Salt Lake City, Utah at the time, so I didn't have a whole lot of people to turn to.
Thank God you got out of there and started masturbating.
You know, it's so funny because, like, when I was learning, I actually had to turn to the internet, and I had remembered somewhere, I don't know where I picked it up, but I so lost as a young woman trying to figure out about masturbation, and you really can't turn to your friends, or at least I couldn't turn to my friends as a young woman. I always hear stories about young boys talking to each other about it, but I had to go to the internet, and even when you go to the internet, or at least at that time, there wasn't a whole lot out there. I looked up masturbation at this time, and I found this old website, and I think it's actually still up, called jackinworld.com. And you go, and there was just hundreds and hundreds of masturbation techniques for boys.
No way!
No, I'm completely serious. And they had, like, images of hands and penises, and like how to place your hand and how each one worked, and there would be some tips, like, you know, use this kind of fruit or put this in between your, you know, box spring and mattress and go do this, and all sorts of really neat, cool things for guys. And then you go, and then there was this one little link, it was a little pink link on jackinworld.com, and it sent you to the girl section, and this was really depressing for me, but it gave you four 4 techniques to masturbate as a woman. 1, 2, 3, 4, as compared to the hundreds and hundreds for men.
Oh,
right.
And eventually, I think I found Dr. Ruth's website, and she taught me about the wonders of the shower head. But yeah.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. And the shower head was a big discovery for Marilyn as well. She had a long time of not masturbating and it being a bad thing in her family life, having it be discouraged. And one of the benefits of growing up Catholic, of course. And so when I started encouraging her to masturbate back when we were vanillas and not having great sex, it's like, okay, I'm going to buy you a shower massager because I hear that that is the bee's knees for little masturbation.
And how?
And it was the bee's knees. And that's one that has not been replaced, even though she has all these new things, unlike the rabbit, which went away, and the original vibrator, which went away because there's better stuff.
But
you know what's interesting is the state of female masturbation is very close. You know, it's definitely gaining acceptance. There's no question. There is no question really anymore that women masturbate. It's just,
oh, true.
But back when I was discovering masturbation, when I was 8, 9, 10, it was still that thing that you don't do, even amongst the guys. You know, you're weird if you do that. And, you know, I remember.
But yet everybody's doing it, though.
Absolutely.
You're weird in there. I mean, that's the talk, you know, yeah. but what's actually happening is.
Oh, yeah. We were all masturbating and not together, but we were doing it. We were just lying about it. But then I remember how vividly Seinfeld changed the discussion.
Master of Your
because
Domain.
Because Seinfeld had the Master of Your Domain episode, an episode completely about masturbation, and an episode that. You know, it was just like a given that these four people masturbate. Grown-ups.
Well, there was a little banter though about Elaine and whether she did or didn't, and you know, of course, she had to ante up more money because they made it seem like it was easier for her to refrain.
But she couldn't resist John F. Kennedy Jr.
Exactly.
But it was amazing, you know, because before that, you know, that was right about the you just didn't hear it. There was no discussion about masturbation. And then suddenly there was.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I remember when I was younger, I listened to a lot of Howard Stern. I felt like he talked about it a lot. But he wasn't necessarily mainstream. And so to have something like that on primetime TV is actually pretty impressive.
It intrigues me to consider, you know, whether you talk about masturbation among friends or, you know, however that works. But I'm also very intrigued by the dynamic in, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of couple, but in, or, you know, any type of relationship setup you've got going on, I still get blown away by the fact that individual people will kind of consider a partner masturbating as
cheating.
A betrayal of some sort. And, you know, I've not heard that from any type of lifestyle friend at all, but I've certainly heard it. And I'm not saying that no one in the lifestyle believes that, because I think it can be beyond, I don't know. I mean, I think if you're just generally sex positive, then of course you're going to be masturbating and you would want your partner to be supportive of your, you know, like, go for it, do your own thing. But people seeing that as like, well, if you're doing that, then I'm not getting all of you or something. And it's just, I've never been able to wrap my mind around that whole paradigm. Like, somehow you're cheating a partner because you're masturbating. Like,
well,
masturbation
it could be the
comes
fantasy
first.
Aspect.
Yeah, that's true, because most of the time masturbation comes with I'm thinking about fucking this other person.
Oh.
Or looking at someone else naked, and I assume that there's a lot of jealousy aspects that come along with all that. And then there's a whole other level. Like, for me and my partner, and we've talked about this previously, we had, you know, one very short stint in our relationship where it was actually an issue, where he was masturbating more than he should have, to the point where he couldn't have sex, basically, with me. And then I got upset. I'm like, okay, you can have some of the cookies from the cookie jar. You cannot have all of the cookies from the cookie jar. You have to share. That is fucked up.
Because some of those Oreos belong to Shira.
Exactly.
And she wants the cream-filled center.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, I think most of the jealousy could come in if it's replacing actual sex. In that case, sure. It's a huge bummer. Or if someone has a hard time with their partner fantasizing, which I think is completely lame. And they should get over it.
Yeah. Well, and being, you know, the masturbation with a partner thing, the question is, you know, I still have issues masturbating if Marilyn is up and wandering around the house.
Huh.
I get nervous. And it's not that I'm nervous I'm going to be walked in on. It's almost, you know, I know this isn't an issue, but it's kind of the idea of, if she walked in on me, would she ask, well, why don't we just go have sex?
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd have to answer, because right now I just want to jack off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll have sex another time. But right now, this is just about me. It's not about you. It's about me. And so maybe it's that lingering selfishness. But I wonder, how about you guys? Do you masturbate around your spouse? Not mutual masturbation, because that's a thing. That's a different thing. But
that's a thing.
That's a thing. That's, mutual masturbation is on par with foreplay. You know, it's not just playing with yourself. So I mean, that's what do you think?
I love to watch prof masturbate. I love it, but
that
then it's a thing.
Sounds like sex,
I mean,
to me, yeah.
I mean, and then it's a thing all of a sudden. Like,
that's the thing. It's like when you are masturbating, and it's about you. Do you ever get that weird, like, oh, should I be?
I don't get the weird thing. I don't get the weird thing, but I also think it's because we give each other space to do whatever we need to do, but we're really communicative about what it is we want. So, like, if I happen to be walked in on, or vice versa, or whatever, I'll ask, you know, do you mind if I watch you come, or, you know, whatever it is. But immediately then it turns into a thing because I'm there. So I think it is fundamentally different when you're alone versus when you're together. But I'm also, you know, we're certainly giving enough to one another that if one or the other is masturbating and wants to just have an orgasm, then we're like, go for it. Absolutely. Like that, because that in and of itself for me is a very, very sexy thing. It's almost, I mean, it's more rare. It's far more rare than having really hot sex, because I don't get to watch him do that very often. So it's just a huge turn on for me. But I think we communicate in that moment, what is it you want? And we are respectful of that. And then we can carry on with our business. But it does become a thing, because then I'm watching. So there's a voyeuristic, exhibitionistic, you know, exhibitionism aspect to it. I don't know. It turns into a thing when someone else is there.
It does. I don't know, Cooper. I kind of feel where you're coming from. Even though we don't have any rules against masturbating in the same house, and I do almost every day masturbate when he's just in the other room. But I do, you kind of get worried. You're like, it's not even so much that I'm worried I'm going to get caught or worried anything. It's just like an awkward transition. It's just really weird. Like, I'd imagine it would be an awkward thing if he were to just walk in on me, just because, like, that's not like a, hey, how's it going? That's like a, you're like in your own head and you're not expecting the interruption. And so it's kind of an awkward, unexpected moment, but not a hostile one.
Well, do you think masturbation is like one of the most self-centered things we can still do and not just be a self-centered person? You know, masturbation is something 100% I mean, unless you're doing the voyeuristic thing, in which case it's a thing. It's not masturbation. It's a thing. But otherwise, it's 100% about me, which is interesting because there's so very little in our lives that we can do and not feel guilty about that is 100% about us.
That could be another reason why there is so much guilt surrounding it, because it is kind of a me act.
So I'm going to admit, I don't, you know, I like masturbating when Tonya's out of the house a lot more than when she's in the house. I feel like, and I hate to admit this because this is kind of a throwback to the vanilla perception of masturbation, but I feel like when she's in the house and I'm masturbating, it's because she doesn't want to have sex. And generally, it is. When she's in the house, I don't go and masturbate because I want to have a good sexual time by myself. I'm masturbating because she isn't in the mood or she's busy or something, and I want to get off. And so the option available to me is masturbation.
You got to start masturbating because you want to do it, man.
Well, I do, but it's usually when I spend when she's gone, you know, with friends or something, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to spend some time with myself. But I admit I need to dedicate more time to getting to know myself and just do it and not feel bad about it. So if I still have vestiges of how we used to feel about sex and sexuality, this is where it is. And it's totally not that I think that masturbation's dirty. It's just, you know, maybe I just still need to work on that little piece.
Dylan, I'm really happy that you're on the show. I know you're on the show. You've been on the show longer than I have, but I'm really happy you're on the show. I think you bring a really interesting transitional point of view to the show. And so thank you for being so honest about that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, you're welcome. And I still hate to admit it, though.
So here's here's my assignment, America, because we have to wrap it up here. I challenge everybody on my panel and everybody listening to sometime in the next week, specifically go to your spouse, playmate, partner, whatever you want to do, and say, I'm going to go masturbate now. And ask for your space. Because then it's taking that out of the I'm hiding this. Because even though I'm not trying to hide it, I'm still sort of hiding it. It's the deep ingrained subconscious thing. So challenge for all of us is to just once say, this is what I'm going to go do. Sound good?
Sounds good to me, Cooper.
All right.
Sounds good.
So you've spent another hour listening to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast with Dylan and Ginger and Shira and me, Cooper Beckett. You can, as always, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us on Twitter at SwingsetLife. Email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can give us a call at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464.
Turn us on.
Yay! Absolutely.
And seriously, that is the way to our hearts. Turn us on. So thank you all for joining me tonight and talking about masturbation, the solo sport we all enjoy so very much. And thank you all for swinging by.
Oh, Cooper. Oh, I need you to call me back. Oh.